Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
And we're back on Inside Black and Gold. That was a long segment that we talked about a lot, but we're going to get into a lot more.
Less long? What are you talking about?
Right, that's true. That's kind of, I say long, it's just what we do. But anyway, so just, and we should have talked about this at the top. We'll talk about it here. We're not going to do our standard preview pod for this week with the Falcons because, you know, the Saints say this all the time. It's about us. We're going to make this about us.
Yes, there you go.
Listeners would benefit one iota from bringing a Falcons reporter on here and having them gloat about how things are going so well. Them, they're 6-3 and they're in control of the division. The Bucks are 4-5. Like, all they have to do basically is hold serve, and they finally, you know, they're finally going to win more than 7 games in a season. And yeah, it's good for them. I'm so happy for them. But we know about the Falcons. We don't really need to go like, you know, about Kyle Pitts and Drake London and Kirk Cousins and all these guys. So we're not gonna do our preview episode. If the Saints find a way to win, then maybe we'll get back to that. For now, I just want to talk about the fallout from this week and all of that. Again, I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Geller. Subscribe if you haven't already. Hit the subscribe button. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. Do whatever you do. All I ask people to do is, hey, if you could recommend us to a friend, to your dog, to whatever, that's as helpful as anything. So as always, thanks everyone for listening. But we're going to dive into Mickey Loomis's interview with WWL earlier this week. He opted not to do a traditional press conference. Instead, he came on with us and Mike Haas in a controlled environment. And he also sat down and talked to New Orleans Football, which is like, if you're going to do that, you might as well do a press conference. Like, because if I'm a TV station in the market, like, what the hell? Like, when do I get my quotes? But either way, we're going to go through what he said to us. And, you know, the first thing we can do is, hey, let's hear what he said about Marshawn Lattimore and dive in a little bit more on that.
But let me just say this. Marshawn has been a fantastic player for us. He was a great draft pick. You know, he's a defensive rookie of the year. You know, the year that we drafted him, 17, and made the Pro Bowl a number of times. He's a fantastic player. He's a good teammate. I got nothing but good things to say about Marshawn. Unfortunately, the last couple of years, he's had some soft tissue injuries to deal with and a couple other injuries to deal with, but he still is, I believe, you know, one of the better corners in our league, and Washington's getting a good player for their playoff push here and their run. So I wish him, you know, nothing but the best. I really do. Ultimately it came down to a deal that I thought was, you know, good for us, good value for us, and that's why we did it.
So yeah, I mean, as we said before, you know, this. Like, people can quibble about the idea, hey, I don't want to trade star players, whatever. And it's how the Saints have been typically. But I can't be mad about the deal. I can't be mad about the results. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Marshawn can do with the Commanders. And hopefully he can get healthy and they can make a run. because it would be kind of cool to see, you know, and cool might be not the right word, but I would not hate to see the Commanders and Jaden Daniels and Marshawn Lattimore come to the Superdome and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, when the deal went down, I had immediate flashbacks to getting rid of Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I was like, oh, man, they're not going to get anything in return on this. So I was way better pleased with the return on Marshawn, thankfully.
Yeah, I mean, CJ, you know, in the CJ trade is a good example of, like, you definitely got a lot more in this deal than you got for CJ.
Oh, yeah.
But also, the CJ is a good example of, like, hey, you got a fourth-round pick in this trade. CJ Gardner-Johnson was a fourth-round pick. So right. Getting extra bites at that apple, you know, your hit rate in the fourth round is not particularly high. But, you know, they have had a track record of pulling guys out of those, you know, round three, round four. They do a pretty good job with those picks. I would argue they do a better job with the round three, round four picks than they necessarily do with their round one and two picks.
Right.
Or at least in the perspective of, I think their hit, let's put it this way. This is the best way to put it that. Their hit rate relative to the rest of the NFL is better in the third or fourth round than it probably is in the first or second round, right? Because your hit rate in the first round is going to be high whether you're good at drafting or not. Like, you can luck into good picks first round because most of the picks should be good picks. In the third round, it's a lot more about the scouting than anything else. And I think that's where your scouting department makes its money in the mid rounds. And that's like everyone has the details on all of these guys. Like, you can find guys like Alvin Kamara who are being overlooked in the third round. And that's where you get, you know, some of these star players that you can gain an advantage with, like a Marcus Williams, like a Trey Hendrickson. And when you hit on those picks, because even if you're bad at drafting, there's a decent chance you hit on your first round picks. When you can double down and get those third round picks to hit, like you have with guys like Jimmy Graham, guys like Teron Armstead, Marcus Williams, Alvin Kamara, Trey Hendrickson, then that's how you rebuild. You're not rebuilding with a 28-year-old who's got 1 or 2 years left in his prime. And will make you better, but not good enough. You rebuild with the youth that you come in, they bring in and develop on manageable contracts. So I endorse it.
You mentioned Trey Hendrickson, made me smirk a bit just because I'm thinking this past week, AFC player, defensive player of the week, Trey Hendrickson, and over on special teams, it was Blake Gillikin. So I was like, ouch.
Yeah, and Thomas Morstead is still out there hitting like 70-something yard punt the other day. But either way, okay. So let's get into what Mickey said about Dennis Allen. And we talked about this on the pod on Monday. This doesn't sound like it was a Mickey Loomis decision. And, you know, the reporting is that it wasn't necessarily a Mickey Loomis decision. And it's pretty obvious when you look at his statements. And the first thing he's going to go to at all times is the injuries. And I get that. I get that. But you're also in the building. You understand, like, the locker room is not in a good way. But that never gets brought up. And this is what he said about the firing, and also took aim at a column that we can talk a little more about.
So it's a brutal business. We've talked about it before. Well, it just is what it is. If you don't think it is, go look at any NFL assistant coach's resume, and you'll see probably 15 to 20 stops, and that's a family man trying to do things. And yesterday, after the loss on Sunday to Carolina, releasing Coach Allen, I know it was a tough day in the building. It is what it is, right? It's the inability to stop the bleeding, to turn things around.
Yeah. Look, Dennis Allen, I think, is a fantastic football coach. And I think anybody in our league who would talk about him thinks he's a fantastic football coach. He is. I think in this case, look, the circumstances, created the record. That's just the truth. And a lot of people don't want to hear it. I mean, we get silly things written like the players aren't parking in the right spots. I mean, that's ridiculous. Players have been parking out there for the last 15 years, you know, because, look, we've got construction going on. We've got, you know, 100 more employees than we had 10 years ago. That's just silly. And to equate that with discipline is silly too. I mean, we're the eighth going into this last game. We were the eighth fewest penalties in the league. That's a more of a comment on discipline than where a player parks, for crying out loud. but it just gets right back to, you know, what stares at you right in the face is that we've had an abnormal amount of injuries, including to our quarterback, and we haven't been able to overcome that. And so, that puts pressure and stress on the organization, and ultimately, it was cause for a change.
Steve, you're silly. That's silly. You're a silly man.
Mickey's going to stop coming on with us, I feel like, just because all these quotes he ends up putting out there ends up being social media fodder for days now.
Well, yeah, and especially in this case, because and this is just kind of a peek behind the curtain. This show is not live. The show is recorded a little bit in advance. So that's why if you listen to Mickey's interview on WWL and it comes on at 7 o'clock, and if some major news has happened throughout the day, sometimes it's not in there. It's because it was recorded in advance, because it's just easier to get it done and do it that way and whatever. But in this case, because I knew that so many people were going to be listening, I went and transcribed it in advance and sent it around to some reporters so that they weren't having to scramble and transcribe all this in real time. Because like Matt Paris for NOLA.com, he's writing a story on Deadline. I wanted to make sure that he had these quotes so that he could do something with them. But what it created was a scenario where everyone was like geared up to tweet every single quote out immediately as they were said. Because all I asked them to do was like wait until it aired before they started sharing. But like it created a very, very difficult scenario for Mickey in this situation, because everyone had like their takes on it.
They were loaded for bear, right?
And especially the he's referring to Jeff Duncan's column, which went out over the weekend and took aim at the parking at the facility, which I will say, since they sent out a notice to the players to say, hey, park in where you're supposed to park, they've started doing that.
Well, Marshawn was one of the cars.
Yeah, yeah. It would be his car. I haven't seen his car. although I do wonder, how did he get it to Washington? It's probably going to get loaded on a truck. It's a like really nice like Bentley. But it's blue, in case anyone wondering. It's a blue Bentley. Anyway, so, you know, he Mickey wants to point at that and say it's not a sign of kind of a lack of discipline. But, you know, it's hard to look at that and say, hey, you can't get your guys to park in the right spots. Although one of the last things DA did was get them to park in the right spot. So I will thank him for that. Because I don't think
you, DA.
If you had waited until the Darren Rizzi era, I don't think that would have been that's the first thing he would have wanted to do, is to be like, guys, park in the right goddamn spots. But I just thought it was funny. But either way, like, it's so blatantly clear that Mickey wants to evade the idea that this is all on DA. And players have said it's not all on DA, whatever. But at the end of the day, your job as a coach is to motivate your players and to have them all pulling the rope in the same direction and feeling like a cohesive unit that believes it can win. And you can point to injuries, you can point to whatever. That wasn't happening over the last month of this season. And when you're in the middle of a losing streak, it becomes a lot harder to do that. And I think personally, that's when you find out whether you have a good head coach or not. It's not when you win a bunch of games and everyone's happy and hunky-dory and everything's going great. That's not when you find out whether you have a good head coach. You find out whether you have a good head coach when things are going terribly and he manages it and he salvages it. And that's what Sean Payton was able to do. It's what good coaches are able to do. It's what Dennis Allen was unable to do, at least this season. And when you look at the minimum success you had, which is going 9-8, followed by the blatant failures that have been had, that's got to be the equation. I think that's what fans look at. That's what Gale was looking at. And that's what ultimately got DA fired. But, you know, the way Mickey is approaching this makes me wonder if there's more changes coming.
It definitely feels like that for sure.
Feels very defensive. Feels right. Very defensive. And we'll have to see. But the way the thing I look at is, hey, go look at how the Pelicans operate. And obviously, a different situation. Scouting in the NBA, personnel in the NBA is very different. Much smaller roster. You need your one star in the NBA can change your fortune. You add a LeBron James to a lineup, suddenly you're a playoff team. You can't add one player to an NFL team and feel like that changes your fate. And we talked about this yesterday. The Pelicans, like, when you lose one starter, that's 20% of your starting lineup. That would be like an NFL team losing five players. So there's differences, but just look at the structure of the Pelicans. And David Griffin is the executive vice president. Bryson Graham is the GM. Right now, Mickey Loomis is the Saints executive vice president and GM. So I think the most likely scenario, if you decide to restructure, is you just separate those positions and you make one of Kai Harley, Jeff Ireland, the full GM, say, you are in charge of personnel.
Right.
Now, if you look, that's where the comparison kind of goes off the rails, because Griff is the shot caller for the Pels. Bryson Graham obviously has a big role, but the final decision gets made with Griff. And in this scenario, I think if you're trying to restructure, you're trying to make it so, you know, that the Saints GM would have the final authority in most personnel decisions. So it couldn't be the same if your goal is to do that. But if that's what this Pelican, I mean, when you see the owner stepping in and kind of making sure certain things happen, it's hard to look at that and not say, okay, they're clearly doing things differently. And once you start doing things differently, where does it end?
My question too is, you know, you mentioned GM, obviously you think about the scouting department. They have been hitting in the later rounds, not so much in the early, but you know, I know Jeff Ireland's name has popped up, but definitely the popular one after, you know, with DA sent packing, the fans now were rallying, obviously get rid of Carr and get rid of Loomis. That's they're trying to check off the complete list here.
Yeah, and I don't think getting rid of Mickey is the answer. I don't.
And I think we've talked about it. I don't think it's happening either.
No, it's not unlikely.
He's not leaving this franchise. You know, he'll have another role somewhere.
Exactly. Like, I think if anything, you're talking about, we're going to restructure, we're going to do things differently, but you're not firing Mickey. But I do think that that's something that you look at. One other thing we can get into from this interview, and there's more of it. It's already on our YouTube channel, so you may have already watched it there. If you haven't, go to WWL Sports. The whole thing is there. You can also I also posted most of these quotes on WWL.com, so you can go there, read them, listen to the full interview, whatever. But the one other thing I want to talk about is the head coaching search and how that's going to be approached over the final eight games of this season. And Mickey basically said it won't be. And so here's that quote.
Yeah, look, that's not something that we're going to be real active with right now. There's plenty of time for that when the season ends. Our focus has got to be on our team, our players, our coaches, our staff. And look, you learn more about who you have and who the people are that you're working with in adversity than you do when things are going well. as much as Katrina and that whole experience was difficult back in 2005, we learned a lot about the people that were with the Saints at that time, and it drove a lot of decisions, you know, after that. And so, look, this is adversity. This is tough. It's no fun losing games. I can't describe to you as bad as our fans feel. And the things that they feel, we're all feeling 10 times worse, but you can't just wallow in that. You have to get up off the mat and show some fight. And that's true for every single person in this building. And so we're going to see what we got over the next.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
8 weeks.
Yeah, so much like previous coaching searches, and you know, it's funny because this isn't the first time the Saints have had an interim head coach, because they had it with Joe Vitt in 2012. But it is the first time that they've had an interim head coach and not known who their head coach is going to be the next year, at least in the Mickey Loomis tenure, right? Because Jim Haslett got to the end of the season. You didn't have an interim that you had to decide on in the offseason. Joe Vitt obviously gave the reins back to Sean Payton. Whereas this time, you don't know what they're going to do after the season. That said, in similar scenarios, which we had last year, in the sense of you fired Pete Carmichael, and when you have a defensive head coach and you're hiring an offensive coordinator, that's not a, you know, it's not like when they hired Joe Woods and you're like, okay, well, Dennis Allen is the head coach and the defensive coordinator. So Joe Woods is kind of like, you know, whatever, secondary coach more so than a defensive coordinator. In that case, Clint Kubiak, you're hiring to bring in and rebuild the offense. So that's a very significant coaching search. And the Saints didn't start that until well into the offseason. And they were waiting out Clint in the Super Bowl, but people were complaining then. It's like, you're taking too long. And I think that's what people are going to complain about now. Like, why aren't you getting a head start? I tend to agree. I think, you know, you might internally be coming up with a short list of guys that you want to look at, but you're not going to start this process in season, because I think you're going to give Darren a chance to kind of show you what you have. And the thing is, a lot of who you bring in as a head coach is going to be determined by what do we have as an organization and who are we keeping around. And you know, I think his point with the Katrina season is good. Like, you know, they fired Haslett after that season, but like how they dealt with a lot of that stuff was significant in terms of who's staying with the organization and who's moving on. And it's like, there's going to be candidates either way. You're not going to, it's not like if you don't start interviewing Mike Vrabel now, he's not going to be an option. You're not going to hire a head coach. Like, You're not gonna, you know, sneakily get like, oh, no one even had a chance at him because we got him first. Like, any head coach worth their salt is gonna wait out their options anyway. So I don't see how that would benefit you, but you're not gonna see the names crop up probably till, if anything, way late in the season.
I think it's the odds that have come out for some of the coaches have been amusing, and still ties with this Saints squad, obviously Aaron Glenn and Joe Brady in that mix.
Yeah, and that's not surprising, although I do think I don't really want to go that route. I don't. Now, if you stuck with Darren, which we're going to talk a little more about, that's different to me, because, you know, it would be because you felt really good about what he did. I'm not hiring someone just because he worked with Sean Payton. I'm so tired of that. I'm so tired of the, hey, let's keep doing this. And it has nothing against Aaron Glenn. If Aaron Glenn's the best option, then go hire Aaron Glenn. But if he's being talked about because of the familiarity, I'm tired of that. I really am. Like,
I think the general consensus is people believe Glenn's going to be a head coach eventually somewhere.
Sure, I'm just saying, like, that can't be the only reason. Like, if he's the best option, it's got to be because he's the best option.
Not it's the initial tie, definitely, for folks.
And that's why people are talking about him right now. Right. Not in general. Like, he's going to be a candidate for a head coaching job, and he should be. I'm just saying, like, if he's your pick to be the next Saints head coach, it has to be because he's the best option, not because, oh, we know him. Because I'm just tired of that. I'm tired of that idea. Like, we've moved on from Sean.
Right, you don't want the boys' club. You're just hiring a guy because I know this dude. He's good.
I think you get into trouble when you do that. And again. If he's the best option, great. But I need that to be for other reasons. And
it'll be curious to me. I know he doesn't have necessarily, obviously, the experience, but does Clint Kubiak put his hat in the ring for head coach?
Oh, he'd have to. Yeah. I mean, I think he would have to consider it.
Right.
But either way, you know, oh, man. One other thing we can talk about here and then move on. Mickey was asked about Alante Taylor in this interview, and I thought his quote was telling. So let's hear that.
Yeah, and look, I would say this, regardless of whether he's playing a nickel or playing outside, he's been fantastic this year. He has, I think, made not just an improvement, but a leap. And I think it starts with him embracing whatever role he has. And and then performing. And he's just been fantastic in his attitude, his effort, everything about Alante Taylor has been fantastic. And we got a number of guys in that category, but you brought him up, and I would echo that. He's really been fantastic, and we see it every week. He's been consistent. That's another part of the equation here.
Yeah. And so one of the reasons I think you feel okay with moving on from Marshawn, at least I do, is that I think you have a true number one corner in Alante Taylor. And I think what Mickey's telling you there is kind of feels the same way. And that's why when I get asked, hey, do you think Alante's going to go back to the slot? I say no, because I want to see if he really is that. And I'm not going to, and I know what he can do in the slot. We've seen it. And the fact that he can play in the slot, great. That's going to benefit him financially down the road. No question about it. And knowing that you have an outside corner that can go into the slot at any given moment if you need it, that's a great advantage to have. But if he's my number one outside corner and I feel like I have that guy, I want to know that. And I want to find out this year. And there's really no reason not to. Because, you know, before it was like, hey, he was competing for the outside job with Paulson 2 years ago. Like, you wanted him there, but Paulson won that job. And this year you had Marshawn and Paulson. So, yeah, okay, he's going to play slot. You don't have either of those guys now. So if he's your best outside corner,
yeah,
play him on the outside. And if he's going to be kind of a cornerstone of this defense, which I think he should be, play him on the outside. And when Kool-Aid comes back, play those guys both on the outside. Find someone to play in the slot. And
yeah, there's not many options for outside right now.
Right, and I don't see what you would gain from keeping him in the slot just because that's how you started the season. Like, knowing that he can play in the slot and you have that flexibility to go inside, outside, fantastic. I love that. And he's going to get a bigger contract down the road because he can do that. And because even if it's not with the Saints, a team is going to look at that and say, like, wow, that's going to be really good to have. All that said, I want to know, because you're in year two. No, you're in year three.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to go into next year. He's a second round pick. He doesn't have an option year. So you're going to go into next year and have to make a decision. Do we extend this guy early?
Right.
And if I want to do that, I want to know now. I want to find out now just how good he can be on the outside. Because I was really impressed. Obviously, it's the Panthers. It's Bryce Young. It's whatever. They don't have a great receiving core. How does he look against the Falcons? How does he look against a guy like Drake London? How does he look in those matchups? And you put him on an island, you see how he handles it. I want to see that. And I think the Saints want to see that too.
And I think, like Alvin Kamara, Alante's been a good soldier. He necessarily didn't want to be moved to that slot role. He's like, all right, this is what the coaches want. Is always, you've known, expressed that desire to be outside. So right now, what better time than now to roll with it, right?
Right. And again, the reason he's in the slot is not because he's the best out slot corner in the world. It's because he's a really talented player and you wanted him on the field in whatever way that looked. And at the beginning of the season, you had two starting outside corners and that was where he could get on the field. Now you put him at his best position and you see just how good he can be at that position. And I have really high expectations for what he can be at that position. And next year, I think there's a on the table, maybe, hey, do we bring Paulson Adebo back? Do we sign him to a deal that he can kind of build that value back up? I don't think he's going to, if I'm Paulson, I'm not interested in signing a long-term deal. I want to sign like a one-year deal that's reasonable in market range. And I can build my value back up and maybe sign that multi-year deal that I was in line for this season. Once I prove that my leg is back and I can still play at a high level. And if that's the case, maybe next year you end up with Alante and Paulson on the outside and Kool-Aid in the slot. But one way or another, I want to know whether Alante is my starting outside corner or if I have to start looking for, the next iteration of that, because I don't think that I'm going to sign him to that big second contract. I think you will. Personally, if I'm looking in my crystal ball, Alante is the guy you're extending before next season, because I don't want to have to deal with an open market battle. And maybe he says, hey, I'd rather get to the open market and assess my value. But if I'm him as well, I'm looking at what happened to Paulson. And if they're willing to play ball and extend me because they see how good I can be and I can get that security in a year before I go out there and potentially suffer a major injury, which can happen on any play in the NFL, I'm doing it. So I think this last eight games, I'm looking at Alante and saying, okay, dude, go earn that contract.
Be that cornerstone piece, right?
Because you're going to have money in 2026 and beyond. Like, you're going to – and honestly, extending him prior to the season will help you salary cap-wise with the – not by a ton, but it's going to be a benefit for you to get that contract set in advance. Same, they did it with Caesar. They've done it. They did it with Pete this offseason. So there's usually, it seems like there's always like one significant kind of contract extension you can get to. And in that case, because he was the Trevor Penning, Chris Olave draft, right? Like, you don't necessarily have to make decisions on those guys next year because you have that fifth year option on the table. So you can figure that out. And then a guy like Chris Olave, we'll see if how his health is, but that might be the best option for him. So yeah, that's, I just thought that answer was telling of like, this team really likes Alante Taylor. And I think that they have good reason for that. And, you know, we talked about this like next episode. I kind of want to do, okay, who are the players you're most intrigued to see showcase the rest of the way? And he's at the top of my list. And it's not him in the slot. It's him outside.
Yeah, you mentioned obviously the talent the guy's got, but also that leadership he brings. He is that voice. He wants to be the vocal leader. Not many people want to step up into that role, but he just has that ability, has that natural swag, whatever you want to call it. The way he carries himself, he has that follow me ability.
Yeah, and he's leaned a lot on Tyron this year. Like, he's gotten very close to Tyron Matthew this year. Like, Tyron has given him a lot of advice on like where to live, how to approach certain situations. And so if he can, you know, if I that's a good thing. If I'm a young player, that's the player I wanna take my lead from. The same way that Tyron always talks about, hey, Patrick Peterson, my rookie year, early in my career, was very influential on me, and he's a big reason I am the way I am today. And I'm sure that's something that, you know, fast forward 8 years down the road, Alante is going to be the old guy in a locker room telling a young player about that. So, yeah. Anyway, that's it. Again, if you want to listen to that full Mickey Loomis interview, it's at WWL.com. It's on our YouTube channel. Go check it out. Mike Cost, I thought, did a good job. You know, those are uncomfortable situations. You got to kind of be I don't want to say careful, but like,
you got to do the dance.
You frame those questions. You have to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you want to give him the shovel and let him dig. You don't want to just throw dirt.
Plus, you mentioned Mickey hadn't addressed the media, so Mike was the first person he had talked to. So that is difficult.
And I think he got to all the points, right? He got to all the things people wanted to hear about, and so I give him credit for that. And anyway, let's wrap this segment up. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some of the changes and why I think that's important, and also kind of make the case for why Darren Rizzi could end up being the head coach beyond this year. We'll talk about a lot of that. Again, it's Inside Black and Gold. Steve Geller coming at you. This is Thursday morning before the injury report comes out. So if anything crazy happens, don't blame us. Either way, Inside Black and Gold. Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.